Thank you. Opening scripture today is might be familiar to some of you, and maybe not, but from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 contain a few little nuggets that may encourage you in your own personal difficulties to enable you to remain strong in your faith, to not waver, to not fall by the wayside, to not look at a circumstance and throw your arms up in the air and say, I quit, I give up, it's over, forget it. Jesus never taught us to do those things. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. This is good news, because there are Jewish people that believe on Jesus. In fact, all 12 of his disciples were Jewish. So we had a good place to start. But as a nation, they're still waiting for their Messiah. But I want to get into that. That's another whole issue. I want to get into what Jesus actually said to those who believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let's go back and look at that. It says, if you continue. I've heard, and perhaps you have as well, that the word if, whenever you see the word if in the scriptures, there is something that's going to be presented to us where we have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. There's no free ride for anybody. And a lot of people don't understand that about Christianity. It's not just something you do once in a while. It's not something we just practice on Sundays. It becomes a way of life. And so the word if, there's an implication with that word that there is something that he said afterwards that's going to make a tremendous difference in our walk with the Lord. He says, if you continue, to continue it's an action word. It means we started on this course of life called faith, a life of faith, our relationship with the Lord. And along the way, things happen, like the case we just prayed for Emily's friends. Other situations come up. We are not, as Christians, exempt from things happening in our lives. Whether it's the loss of a job, a loss of a loved one, could be financial, a lot of things happen in our lives. But the one thing that we should not let happen is to make a choice and say, well, I've just had it with this following Jesus kind of thing. I'm ready to pack it in. And I get emails from a couple of people, and that's almost where they are right now. They're ready to just go crawl under a rock and die someplace. And it's really hard to answer a letter like that and make sure that it's a letter that's going to be encouraging and uplifting, but not to squash or crush, because you know that flowers are beautiful, but when they're stepped on, they're not so pretty. Jesus said, if you continue, so it's a process. We don't just serve the Lord when everything is going nice. There are times when things aren't going so nice, and we need to continue, because it doesn't matter where we started. It doesn't matter what position in the race your chalk block was where you started. What really matters is, how are you going to cross the finish line at the end of your race? Are you going to slack off when the enemy gets roaring at your heels? Are we going to knock over a few hurdles in our race and murmur and complain about how much it hurt and kiss my poor little broken knees or my bruises, and, you know, are we going to get back up and continue? Because to continue is a really strong word. And it says, continue what? In my word. The word of God. It is so important that we have time for everything if we budget our time wisely. It's not always the same time for everybody. We all have our own personal schedules. But I can tell you, a very wise man who owns half of the properties in Springfield once told me, Rick, there's 168 hours in every week. Everybody has the same amount of time. So don't ever fall for the lie that I don't have enough time, because the implication is none of us can use that excuse. I don't have enough time. Do you realize how many hours 168 hours is? You can watch a movie for 2 hours on TV, including the commercials, and think, boy, that movie went by fast. We can come here in 2 hours and think, a lot of people don't like to come here because they think the chairs are hard and the service is too long. Well, stand up. You know, give your body a break. It's okay. But the thing of it is, continuing in the Word of God is a roadmap for life. It's God's plan for successful, victorious, overcoming life through all circumstances of life. And there is nothing that life can throw you that it has that it's going to knock you down and throw you off course to where you've lost sense of the real priorities in life. Because there's an advantage about this. And he says, then you're my disciples. A disciple, it requires a disciplined life to follow Christ. In our marriages, in our work, the different things that we do, the relationships with other people, it takes discipline to live that life of faith without compromise. And that's why I like the word disciple, because Jesus implied that if we don't continue in his word, then we're not his disciples. I didn't say that. Every scripture has two sides to it. And so only you and I will know whether we're continuing in his word or not, and the importance of it, because the next verse tells us why it's important. It says, and you shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. In a few verses down, 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But he talks about knowing. Don't believe the History Channel about the life of Jesus. Don't believe the National Geographic all the hooey about evolution. Believe the Bible about who God is. Let that be your source of spiritual knowledge and insights. Paul prayed that we would grow in the knowledge of the truth. It's a growing process, but it needs to start with the Word of God. You'll know the truth about who God is. You will know His salvation plan. There's only one. He doesn't have many. He only has one. You'll know that it was by His blood on the cross that was for the forgiveness of our sins. No place in history that I can recall was there ever another Savior who said, never mind Jesus, I'll do it. And he or she jumped up on the cross. No, it was Christ. And you'll know the truth about that. You'll know the truth about what the Word has to say about forgiveness. You'll know the truth about when Christ has set you free. Free from our past. Free from all the things that there was free from. Some of us it was drugs. Some of us it was alcohol. Some of us it was hatred, bitterness, resentfulness, unforgiveness. We weren't free. We were held captive to those things. But continuing in the Word, you know the truth now, the delivering power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know that God has a wonderful plan for your lives. If you don't renew your mind to the Word, you won't know those things and you won't know the truth. And you'll be swayed by every wind of doctrine that blows through town. You'll hear it and it'll tickle your ears and you'll start following after it like Pepe Le Pew and all of his odors that go through the old cartoon. You know, that's how quick people are to look for a new doctrine, to chase after something new. If it's new and it isn't in here, I would be very hesitant about following it. And I'll leave that up for you to decide. But for me personally, I'm not chasing after every wind of doctrine, because the Word of God is all that we'll ever need forever and ever. It's settled. God's Word is established in the heavens, and we, by speaking it and teaching it and living it, establish His Word here on the earth. You'll know the truth about being delivered from all the power of darkness. You can't pull the old Flip Wilson line, "The devil made me do it." No, he didn't. He may have enticed us to do something, but the power to resist is the power that our faith has in the finished work of the cross. And the fact of the matter is, the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us and empowers us, we can resist steadfast in our faith. In fact, nowhere in the scriptures have I ever seen that we're to be afraid of our enemies and that we have to run in fear from what they're doing. No, if we stand our ground and we're protected by the shield of faith and all the whole armor of God, it says the enemy will flee from us. But if we don't know these things, we're not going to be free people. But Jesus came to liberate us and set us free and give us a life of victory. And He calls you more than a conqueror. He calls you an overcomer. And He says He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Well, how can you experience the always if you get bummed out and you decide you're not going to do this walk anymore? Then He wins. You have something worth fighting for. You have something worth defending. You have a life on the inside of you that no devil in hell has any right or authority to pluck from you, because it came from Almighty God, your Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. And so, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you know what? It'll keep you free. Let's have a huggy break. We have a lot of good stuff yet to happen. In that little quiet time, something I heard reminded me of this verse of Scripture from Acts chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Did you hear the wind rushing outside these windows? Imagine, that's the natural, what the spiritual wind is like that's blowing in this house today. And that last song of praise and thanksgiving, "You do miracles." I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I think very often of the miracle of a changed life. When you think back to your particular life before you were a believer, and then the miracle of your salvation experience, there is no greater miracle that will ever take place than how God can take a lost soul and make them brand new. And your life, your lives collectively, are an epistle of God's miracle-working power in your life. And I just never knew all those years before Christ that there was such a life possible. It's the life that He's given us now, where nothing is impossible. And I was so thankful at the men's advance a couple weeks ago when a man and his wife brought that banner and said, "We knew this was for you." Because with God, all things are possible. I will never stop believing that. If I look at natural circumstances sometimes, I don't know how things are going to work. I don't know where money's going to come from. I don't know how people are going to change. I don't know where anything is happening in the natural. But I know this one thing, what Jesus said: with God, all things are possible. but he backed it up with to those who believe. And it comes back to our opening scripture this morning. Never give up. Don't quit. Press on. Press upward for the high call of God in Christ Jesus on your life. But that's not our scripture for this morning. That's just kind of, it goes with the salad. Main course is coming now. If you would please, go with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And I'm not finished with our study on words. It just kind of gets broke up sometimes from week to week, depending on what way our gatherings go. But the next scripture from Ephesians is a very powerful portion of scripture, because it's a continuation of the new life in Christ. And it pertains to not only how we conduct ourselves among people or by ourselves or our walk with the Lord, but in the context of it, verse 21 says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Oh, there's that word truth again. Then Paul writes that you put off concerning the former conversation or the lifestyle, the old man, corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after created in righteousness, putting off the old man, because he died. The day that you became born again, you became a new creation, and the old nature died. It was crucified with Christ. And when you became a believer, a new nature was birthed on the inside of each one of you. That banner, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, that's the old man, died. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we can no longer live our lives clinging to things that were deceitful, that were lustful. Lustful basically means a selfish desire for many things. It isn't just a sexual matter. It's about a lust and a desire, the other things that the world has to offer, rather than choosing what God has to offer. But it said that the truth is in Jesus, and that we put off the old man. He was corrupt. He couldn't walk with God and serve God because of the sin nature that controlled all of us. We were born with it. It was the seed of Adam. And so now he tells us to put on the new man. It's like going in your wardrobe, picking out a new shirt or a sweater or slacks or whatever, and you put that on. We're to clothe ourselves. That our lifestyle now represents that new man in Christ. It's a growing process. The new man is instant, but walking it out takes a lifetime. And I just want to make that clear, that it isn't always a cakewalk. You might slip into frosting along the way. But don't let it go to waste. Kenny?
I didn't mean to interrupt, but it just came to me what Joyce Myers, I've heard Joyce Myers say, I may not be where I may not be where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be.
Amen. That's right. And so in the context of Paul's letter to these new believers at the church of Ephesus, he began to address a lot of personal things. And not being angry and sin not. Oh, there's so many things here, but I neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing. And then verse 29, 30, well, we're going to go down through 32. 28 through 32, I'd like to put a little more emphasis on today, because it's all in flows with our teaching on our words and the expectation that God has for each one of us to apply these principles in our lives. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It is a lot of meat there. But let's go back up. It says, let no corrupt communication. And Peggy, and I don't know who else is here this morning that knew Faith and I before we got saved. And Tyler was talking about the F word this morning, but he said it was the good one, not the bad one, he said. And that was very much in our vocabulary, along with a lot of other words that were right up there with it.
Flexible,
yes. I was not flexible in that matter. It was consistent. And I say that because working outside on a golf course, and Tom working with the tree crew, you know, in your workplace and shop talk, there's a lot of talk that certainly doesn't edify and build you up in your faith, because we didn't have our faith at that time. And so this verse was one of the ones that I was almost shocked that it would be in here, because I never had any idea that being a Christian, it wasn't just not using the Lord's name in vain, but it had to do with corrupt communication. In other words, our manner of speech, corrupt, would come from the old nature, which we read above was corrupt. So the language of the old you before you got saved should be different from the language of the new man now, which this says is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there should be a progression as we grow and mature in our faith, that even how we speak should change. There should be some changes. It isn't just about cussing and swearing and using those kind of words, but as our knowledge of the word increases, which we talked about this morning, continuing in the word, you'll be my disciples, Jesus said. As our knowledge of the word increases, our speech should begin to indicate that by speaking words that line up with God's word. God's word brings life. It brings hope. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings salvation. It brings joy. It brings peace. It speaks of righteousness. It speaks of true holiness. It speaks of all of the promises of God. And our words eventually should come to the place as believers where those are the words that we share with each other. And that's why in the beginning of the service, I call it testimony time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about this very thing. Howbeit, brethren, when you all come together, every one of you has a psalm, a song, a teaching, a doctrine. But then the word is, but let everything be done decently and in order. It talks about our words building up and edifying the body of Christ, so that our words should be reflective of just what this says. I can't say it better. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Our words should be an encouragement to one another. The world and our part in it had to do with tearing down critical spirit, fault finding, never having a good word to say about anyone, always seeing the glass half empty instead of half full. But now as believers, our nature is brand new. And so our focus should be, let's see perhaps if the Holy Spirit can help us to remember that, so that people know you've been with Jesus if they sit down and have a conversation with you. That they know by your words that you've spent time in His Word. doesn't mean we have to preach it, people, but we learn to speak the words. We learn to speak words that line up with His word. How wonderful it is to treat each other like that at home, between husbands and wives and our children. My wife isn't just my wife. She's my sister in Christ. And that's huge in a marriage for Christians. My wife is my sister in Christ. And there's also Jesus' teaching that whatsoever you do unto the least of these, you've done unto me. If I treat my wife badly or unkindly or disrespectful, I'm doing that to Jesus. And my true love for Christ is reflected in how I treat my wife. And wives, your true Christianity is represented in how you treat your husbands. See, it works both ways. That's why it's important to get these principles and really put them into practice. Because if we would learn to honor one another and lift each other up, see, the world can't do that because they don't have the Spirit of Christ abiding within them. We have such an advantage. Oh my, we really do. There shouldn't be anything that with Christ we can't overcome or work through. We all got stuff, but we have the answers to the stuff. And to just really take these words serious. Not that you go out feeling beat up, but that you go out encouraged today. Because this is where we come together and we learn and we grow together and encourage each other. I mean, and I'm not even responsible for these words. I did not write these. I'm just reading them, and hopefully you read them with me. So now we're all responsible. See, I'm off the hook now. Or I should say, we're all on the same hook together. And so the day of accountability will happen when we will be called to give an account for the words we speak. We've already read about that in weeks past. And so it says that you may minister grace unto the... Who's the hearers? The ones who hear what you're speaking. Do your words minister or serve grace to another person that you're communicating with? This brings questions. And questions to me cause me to say, well, sometimes. Because sometimes not. But you see, as we grow, the sometimes more will get more than the sometimes less. And it's part of, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And I love, that's not a mistake that's put right in there. He deals with the issue of our words. That's not there by accident. Our words, if we're ripping and devouring and tearing at one another, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because, and I think about it at home, if a husband and a wife were both saved in their marriage, and we're warring at one another with our words, and arguing and contention and speaking things that believers shouldn't speak, we're grieving the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord is in our mates. And if our kids are saved, they're in our children. So we can't just go around and, not anymore, and bad mouth what we see our kids do, and they ought to be doing this and they ought to be doing that. And if we'd listen to the Holy Spirit, I'm sure the Holy Spirit would say, and you ought not to be saying that. You ought to be saying things from my word. And so there's checks and balances here. And it's, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit not only keeps us, but He seals us. Anybody do any canning? I know Priscilla does. And that rubber seal around the top of the ball canning, that glass jar, see, that seals the contents. The new man in Christ, inside of each one of you as a believer, has been sealed with the Holy Spirit to preserve the contents. He protects us. He keeps us. He seals us. We contain Him within us. And every time that we wrongly speak, we grieve that Spirit, because that's the same Spirit that's going to keep us until the day Christ returns, or we go to be with Him. That's why these things matter. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you. See, it sets a high goal for us, actually, because it said let all. That means continuously along the way, along our walk in the Lord, there's always the opportunity for us to gain the victory in these areas. Clamor is just noise, wrath and anger. My dad was like that all the time. I never heard him say he ever loved us. He was clamorous. He was loud. He was, today, these new terms, verbally abusive, they didn't exist back then. That was normal, and everybody just sucked it up and lived with it. We didn't have all these psychological terms back then. Now these are all newfangled words. Verbally abusive, but they're very descriptive because they hurt people. And it says, put all of those away from us. With all malice. Malice means with the intent to harm. See that? See, Jesus always talks about what's going on in the heart because the mouth reveals the truth about what's going on in the heart. And malice means to use those words of anger and clamor and evil speaking to do harm to another person. Well, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, yes, you did. I didn't mean to hurt you. Oh, yes, you did. Yes, we did. Or this is all not true. Malice is a legal word. But the implications are, when we wrong somebody, there was an intent on our part to harm them or to hurt them for our own selfish gain. Anytime we put somebody else down, we're lifting ourselves up. Anytime we speak evil of another person, we're doing it with the intent to hurt them. And we can lie and say, no, that's not true. But the Lord's Spirit reveals the motive of the heart. So, you know, these weren't put here, this letter from Paul to this new church, to put them in bondage, but so the whole world of unsaved people in their church would know that there's something different about the life of a believer. That they could look and say, wow, what remarkable people these people are. They don't just say they follow Christ. They live it. They practice it. They speak it. They dream it. They sleep it. They live it out among us in public. And we spent a long time talking about the city of Ephesus. It was filled with magic, witchcraft, the occult, idolatry, gods and goddesses that were worshipped and statues made. All the stuff was going on. You think Springfield was bad. Should have lived in this time. When you study the history, and here's a church planted right smack dab in the middle of hell. I think that is so cool. If you're going to have a church, put it right smack in the middle of hell. And there will be a difference. And so, there's a difference expected of us. And even when we bowl on Sunday nights, man, we bowled a team last week and we got beat rather soundly by a team that just goes there and gets drunk in parties. And they beat us. And we were drunk in the Lord, but they were drunk on Bud Light. we were drinking the light, but they were drinking Bud Light. And we lost to these guys. But you know what? It's really nice because of where we are in our faith, we're able to not let that get to us. They're very respectful of us. They won't swear around us. And I overheard a conversation coming into the bowling alley last week. Who are we bowling tonight? And one of them that already been at the bar getting charged up before the games even said, we're bowling the preacher. So they were getting ready. And it is so funny because when you really sit and you get to know these people, they're really good people. They're so good. In fact, one of them drops his kid off on the front steps of the church, and he takes off and leaves his kid there and then comes back, picks him up after church. Boy, you don't think kids grow up and think mom and dads are hypocrites?
That's what happened to my parents.
You got it.
They're still that way.
Yep.
I ain't going to church. No point.
Well, no, but you go. We'll take you. You know, so this is kind of, there's a light side to this, and it's all part of it, you know. And be kind one to another. Oh my, when I think of being kind, wait for someone to tell you to do something nice or do something right or do something kind to be a blessing, just do it, because it's the right thing to do. And find a person and a time when it would just blow their socks off for you to do something kind and not look for anything in return. Just flat out decide you're just going to go for it and do it. And don't make it a random act of kindness. Make it a lifestyle of showing kindness everywhere you go, that people will know that you're a kind person. Because kindness reflects your Heavenly Father, who showers us with loving kindness. It crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh. Be kind one to another, tender hearted. Don't put the tough guy on. Tough guys take a hard fall. There's a lot of battle casualties before we came on the scene, and there'll be a lot more, but don't be part of it. Forgiving one another. Just let it go. Because it hurts you more than the person that you won't forgive. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. You know? Even as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven us. So that even God protected His own Son's dignity and respect, dying in shame and reproach on that cross. He forgave us so that we wouldn't be a reproach to Christ anymore. And so, in our extending of forgiveness, do it for your sake, to protect your dignity. And you'll get used to it after a while. It's just kind of neat. Be quick. Because the longer you wait, bitterness sets in. And just above that, it talked about let all bitterness and wrath and anger. See, it starts with bitterness. It starts with, I know I should forgive that person. You know what they did to me. Well, forgiving them never says it's okay what they did to you. But forgiveness opens up the door in your own heart so God can bring healing to you. And it also frees up the other person so God can begin the work of healing and reconciliation in their heart too. And it's all connected. This whole chapter 4 is incredible. And how our words are right sandwiched right in there among all of those things. So that is why it's important, and that is why we'll have a lot in Proverbs. We'll be looking at some words from Psalms in a couple weeks. Carl will be here next week. I have no idea what he's going to talk about, but I know that it'll be good. And he will edify you. God will use him to edify and build you up. Because that's the kind of person he is. He is tender-hearted. He is gentle. He's a very kind man. And he was wonderful to take overseas with me on 2 missions trips. He fit right in. On a 12-hour notice. Well, anyway, if that's helped you and gave you the reasons behind why these things to the church, then I hope that you can see my reasons for bringing it to you, for sharing it among us, because a lot of people know us we're known. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We all have our realm of influence, if you will. And words are the first thing that people pick up on. And do we keep our word? So that's important too. Anyone want prayer this morning? Nope, it's afternoon now. But the roast isn't burned, so don't worry. We got time. You want prayer today for anything, please come up. And we'll release our faith together for your breakthrough and the things that you're believing God for.